from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. That's Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age."
Run. You want to whistle at me, but not say hi. Evening, everyone. It is great to see you this afternoon, this evening. Why don't we pray as we jump into God's Word together? Heavenly Father, as we come before you now and we open your Word, we pray that your Spirit would be at work here amongst us, that we'd be hearing your voice clearly, and that we would be responding with a faithful obedience. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. I wonder what your first memory is. What age were you when you can actually remember something that happened in your life? I've got a terrible memory, and so I think my first memory was when I was about 12 years old. And I remember it vividly. This also tells you a lot about me, this story. I was playing cricket, and I was batting, and someone came in to bowl, and it was a bit too short, and I took this opportunity to do a big hook shot up over the infield for six. My first ever six in a game of cricket. Thank you. And my dad was the square leg umpire, and he decided that it bounced before the boundary and was only a four. And I think that might be why I remember it. I've obviously forgiven him, and I'm okay with it all. But tonight we want to talk about remembering. And in fact, this talk is going to be on the practice of remembering, reminding us that we're in this Walking with Jesus series. And so we're trying to give you really practical, applicable things to do in your everyday life to help you on your journey, on your walk with Jesus. And as we look at this practice of remembering tonight, we're in this context of Matthew 28. We're in the context of the promise which Jesus makes in Matthew 28. And he said, "I will be with you always. I will be with you always." And so I want to explore this practice of remembering and how this reminds us, how this draws us closer to the truth. It opens up our hearts to the fact that Jesus is with us always. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. You're never left behind. He is present every day, every minute, every hour. Now, the promise that Jesus makes here is in the context of what is called the Great Commission. This is Jesus' final words in Matthew's Gospel. He's sending out the disciples. He sort of gives them this final message, some last words and instructions. And he says, "Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." And then he says, "And I will be with you always." So this Great Commission is this moment where we also, that's you and me, we receive this role from Jesus. And it points to the heart of what it means to follow Jesus. He says, go and be disciples, and then also go and make disciples of all nations. And discipleship is the key core thing, the central thing about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We are disciples of him. Now, this word discipleship in the New Testament is more this word we'd understand it as apprentice. And we explored this more in our Practicing the Way series. We said how an apprentice is much like an apprentice on a building site who watches what to do, who then has a go with the help of someone else, who's then able to go and do it themselves and have this person watch them and feedback. And then one day they're free to go and build a house all by themselves. Much like that, in our relationship with Jesus, we are to watch Jesus. We're to learn how to be like Jesus so that slowly over our life we become like Jesus and we actually go and do what Jesus did. That's kind of the core of what it means to be a disciple or an apprentice, is to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, to go and do what Jesus did. And so the key passage here teaches us about the core of discipleship, which is to be an apprentice who, with the authority of Jesus, goes and makes disciples of all nations. And as we do that, he promises that he will be with us always. And so it's not simply about believing the right things about Jesus. It's about apprenticing, discipling our lives to him, becoming like him, and going and doing what he did. And so as we look at the practice of remembering today, I want you to see from the start that remembering serves a purpose. It's not just for its own sake, but the purpose of remembering is to encourage you, to spur you on, to help you in your discipleship to Jesus. It is going to help us to learn about who Jesus is, about who we are, and how we live in his world, trying to be in his ways, following his words. Remembering is a powerful practice which will open up your life to be transformed, to grow, to be ever more aware of the presence of Jesus, who is with you always, just as he promised. To understand remembering, I want to explore the idea of remembering in the Old Testament and then the New Testament, and then we're going to have a look at a practical application for us. So first, the Old Testament. There's many times where God encourages his people to remember, but I want to zone in on one line which is repeated in the book of Deuteronomy multiple times. In chapters 5, 15, 16, and 24, God reminds the Israelites to remember that you were slaves in Egypt and a gracious God saved you. Remember that you were slaves. For 400 years, the Israelites had been slaves in Egypt. For over 400 years, they'd been living under this Egyptian rule and reign. 400 years means generations of Israelites knew nothing but their existence as a slave. And God is saying, do not forget your past. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget your history. Don't leave it all behind. And importantly, don't forget that a gracious God saved you. Don't forget the work of God in your life. Because in the book of Exodus, we read of God redeeming his people, freeing his people. He led them through the Red Sea as the waters part and they go to safety. God leading his people towards the promised land. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget what God has done for you. And it's interesting that when God says, don't forget that you were slaves in Deuteronomy, it's surrounded by God laying out this law for his people. In many ways, he's giving them this law, teaching them what it means to be human and how to flourish as a human being, his creation in his creation. With these new laws, God's trying to say, don't repeat the actions of those who oppressed you. Don't repeat the actions of those who marginalized you, who squashed you. Don't repeat history and make the same mistakes. Rather, he's saying, let his actions define your future. In Deuteronomy 15, before he tells them to remember, God is giving the Israelites instructions on freeing their slaves. Here's what he says. If any of your people, Hebrew men or women, sell themselves to you and serve you 6 years, in the seventh year you must let them go free. And when you release them, do not send them away empty-handed. Supply them liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your winepress. Give to them as the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. That is why I give you this command today. God's saying, remember where you came from. It matters. Remember your past. Remember what God has done for you in your life. Remember his goodness, his grace, his love. Remember that God redeemed you. Remember that you were powerless without him. Remember God's glory. Remember his care. Remember his sovereignty. Remember who God is. Remind yourself of who God is. Spend time with God, getting to know his character, who he is, how he thinks, what he's on about, what he values and what he cares about. Remember God, because he's worthy. He's Redeemer. He saves. He keeps his promises. He's always with you. Psalm 105, 4-5 reminds us to look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles and the judgments he pronounced. When we look back and remember God throughout human history, throughout Scripture, we see over and over and over again his strength, his ever-present face, his wonders, his miracles, his judgments, his goodness, his justice, his love, his care for people. And it's that God that we encounter in Scripture. It's that God that we know is so powerful. It's that God who is so merciful and gracious and kind and loving that is with you each and every day. It's that God who was the same yesterday, today, and forevermore that is present in your life, who loves you, who cares about you, who is with you. The Old Testament reminds us that there is a gracious God who loves you, who cares for you, who's kind, and he's always the same, and he's ever present. In the New Testament, one of the main moments we are called to remember is as Jesus broke the bread during the Last Supper. It says that Jesus took the bread and he broke it, and then he says, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then he takes the cup and he says, drink this. This is the covenant in my blood, and drink it. And whenever you do, do it in remembrance of me. So Jesus wants us to remember him. Well, what's it mean when we say remember him? Well, I think it means all of him, right? It means his birth, his life, his ministry, his death, his resurrection, his ascension up into heaven. And he says, do this. This physical action will help you remember me. When you break the bread, you can't not remember Jesus. When you drink the juice, you're reminded of Jesus. There's power in this physical action that we live out together. And we remember what Jesus has done for us. As we break the bread, we drink the juice, we are just so vividly reminded of the sacrifice that he made for you and me on the cross, of a life poured out for the sake of others. And so our lives can't not be lived in light of the cross, in light of the resurrection, in light of what Jesus has done for you. There's power in remembering what Jesus has done, the sacrifice that he made. When we remember Jesus, we remember everything he did for you and for me. In the New Testament, we also see in Acts 20, 35, Paul speaking, and he reminds the Ephesian church, of Jesus' words. He says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so Paul here is almost reminding the church not just to remember the sacrifice of Jesus, but to remember the commands and the words of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus as well. And then he, in the same breath, reminds them that these words of Jesus should penetrate their minds and their hearts and move them towards grace-filled action. Paul's actions, he believed, had reflected to them the words and actions of Jesus. And so Paul remembering the words of Jesus meant that he'd moved from thinking that what Jesus had to say was simply a good teaching or nice ideas, but he's now in a place where he truly believes what Jesus said, that it is truly better to give than to receive. And so intellectually we may know this, but experiencing it, living it out in our life in this practical truth is altogether a different thing. We want to remember so that the words of Jesus move us to this grace-filled action. So the New Testament reminds us to remember Jesus, the sacrifice he made for you. It also reminds us to remember his words, what he taught us to obey. And finally, it reminds us to remember where our faith came from. Have a look with me, 2 Timothy 1:5. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. He says, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother and in your mother, and I am persuaded now lives in you also." Paul's saying, remember your own faith story. Those who loved and nurtured you into who you are today. Who's responsible for the faith that you have? Who taught you this faith? Who modeled you this faith? Who spoke this faith into your life? What's been handed down to you? Maybe it's family or a friend or a mentor figure or a leader. Remembering, though, reminds us that we aren't on this journey alone, that the people will play a role, a huge role in our lives, and that we might just get to play that role in someone else's life as well. The other day, I was out on a run, and I was running past this guy who was riding on a bike. And we made eye contact, and I immediately knew who it was. I haven't seen him for years and years, but immediately I knew that it was my old youth leader. We looked at each other and went, "Oh, g'day." You had to be there. But in just seeing him, in remembering him, it reminded me of all the nights he spent with me. He'd drive me around in his Subaru WRX and he'd play music that was a little bit too loud, but I loved it. He played soccer with me. He hung out with me. He gave me so much time and attention. And remembering this just made me thankful, because I actually can't remember anything he taught me. I was a teenage boy. But I remember the way he made me feel. Looking back, I can see the impact that he had. Now, with the hindsight of being older, I can see the foundation that he was laying, the small part that he played in my life, in my journey. And just remembering made me thankful. It inspires me in my faith to do the same for others, to invest in people, to love people, to hang out with people. This joy that builds up inside of us moves us to a place of deeper faith. We trust more in the promises of Jesus because we can see that that is actually true of our life as well. So who are you thankful for in your life? Who's loved you into who you are today? Where did your faith live before it lived in you? So Deuteronomy reminds us to remember what God has done, who God is. The Last Supper reminds us to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. Acts reminds us to reflect on the words and commands of Jesus to live them out with our life. And Paul reminds us to reflect on the people in our lives who've spurred us on, encouraged us in our faith. I hope you can see this beautiful picture which is forming of what it means to remember. And I think ultimately remembering these things helps to remind us that in our everyday lives, Jesus is present. Because when we reflect, we can actually see that that's true throughout our lives, right? We see glimpses of it. We see key moments. We might remember key people, but we can also see that Jesus was intertwined in everything. He was always there. Sometimes we were more aware than at other times, but that God who was the same yesterday will be the same today and forevermore. And so this process, this practice of remembering, I think it brings joy, it cultivates gratitude, and it builds faith in us that what God has done before, God will do again. So that's kind of a very brief but overview of the Old Testament and New Testament. Let's get practical now on what remembering looks like, what remembering could look like. And I don't think the practice here is to always be in this posture of remembering, right? It is simply not possible. We can't do it all the time. Eliza, my wife, is a teacher and she spends all day with year fours who are asking her questions. They're in her face. They're making noise. They're moving from one class to the next. It's busy, if not hectic. She doesn't have time to eat her lunch some days. We're busy people living busy lives. I wonder if that's true for you too. There's 100 things that are pulling at our time and attention. Maybe it's kids that want your time. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's friends. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's all the co-curricular sort of things that you're doing. We have busy lives. How do we make it so that we genuinely know and believe and can live in the truth that Jesus is with us in every moment in all of that? Well, here's what I think remembering can look like. There's three stages. The first is to spend time with Jesus. The second is to reflect. The third is to invest in growing. So firstly, it's spending time with Jesus. And we can't escape the need to spend time with Jesus. Even if we are busy people living busy lives, we have to find time to spend with Jesus. And I wonder what that looks like for you. It might be quiet times. It might be a devotion on your app. I find it really hard just to sit and to read for long periods of time. And so I spend time with God while I'm running or gardening. I like to do things. We can listen to the Bible. We can read the Bible. It might be in the car or on the train. Find time to spend with Jesus. And as we spend time with Jesus, reading the Bible, we want to get to know and encounter Jesus in Scripture. Encounter is the key word here, right? Because when was the last time you encountered something fresh and new which challenged you and just brought this awe and wonder to your faith? Sometimes I think we get in these patterns of spending time with God and we just read into the text and we reaffirm our own bias or belief. We forget that we can actually encounter Jesus afresh, each and every day. Every time we pick up our Bibles, when we meet Jesus in the Gospels, we should be in awe and wonder at the encounter that we're having with Jesus. Getting to know Jesus for who he is, for what we read in Scripture, rather than who we've made him to be in our minds. So remembering begins with spending time encountering Jesus. The second part is to reflect. So it's stopping at the end of the day, or it's stopping at the end of the week, and it's spending time just looking back and reflecting. What happened? What was I doing? It's observing, where we look back and we might see where God was at work, or we look back and we go, I was not aware of God at all today in my life. It was busy and chaotic. We just want to name all of it, though, the positives and the negatives, the good and the bad, where we were aware and where we weren't aware, where we were obedient and where we weren't obedient. And then in reflecting, we want to understand a bit deeper than just knowing what happened. We want to understand why that happened, of what was going on in our response or our decisions of what happened. So you might ask yourself questions like, why did I react in that way when that person didn't like my work? Or what was going on for me when I made that unethical decision at work or didn't have time for that person? Or what was it about my attitude that made my kids, or maybe it's your teacher, so annoying today? What's going on inside of you that is leading you to these decisions, these behaviors, and these attitudes? And this isn't a moment to reflect, to bring shame or guilt. It's to receive grace again from a good God as we repent and we turn back to him. But the goal of this remembering practice is that the more we do this, the more we look back, we see glimpses of where God is at work, the more naturally we become aware of Jesus in our everyday lives, where we begin to remember that he is with us and we almost don't even have to try or think about it. Where the words of Jesus suddenly come to our minds because we've been spending time with Jesus. Where the character of God just comes out in our behavior because we've been spending time with him, reflecting on him. And so in many ways, we don't want to practice remembering if you don't want to grow. If you don't want to be transformed, if you don't want to admit your faults or mistakes, we don't want to practice remembering if you don't want to encounter a good God and be in awe of his love and his grace over and over again. So the third step, once we've spent time with God, once we've spent time reflecting, is to invest in growing. Pete Scazzaro, author and pastor, has a great quote. He says this: I was a Christian for 22 years, but instead of being a 22-year-old Christian, I was a one-year-old Christian 22 times. Isn't that a challenging thought? We want to be different in our faith, in our lives, as who we are as people than we were 1 year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 22 years ago. But he's almost pointing out that we can be walking with Jesus and going nowhere. That we can be committed to walking with Jesus and almost be walking around in circles where we're never growing, where we're never learning, we're never moving forward with him. We aren't changing, our lives aren't reflecting more the Jesus that we encounter in Scripture. But I think when we reflect on the gloriousness of God, when we cultivate this practice of remembering God's power, his sovereignty, when we remind ourselves daily of Jesus' life, his ministry, what he's on about, what opportunities we had to partner with him throughout the day of his kingdom, and where we are aware of that in the world around us, when we think about just how good and gracious and loving God is, how can we not want to grow in our relationship with him? How can we not want to engage more in his kingdom? How can we not want to deepen our relationship with the King of the world, the creator of you and me? If this kingdom that he speaks of is so appealing to us, if his teaching is so compelling, his words so loving, why would we not want to be transformed into the likeness of the King? Why would we not want to be transformed into the likeness of Jesus? Why would we resist? Walking with Jesus means committing to growing with Jesus, growing in our love for him and love for the world. And part of growing is that we need to do something about what we've reflected on. So we can notice, we can understand what has happened, but it means we actually need to do something about that. This might mean that you need to share it with one or two close people in your life. And maybe it's something that you share with your life group and have them pray for you. Maybe it's something actually bigger in life and you need to go see a counselor or psychologist and work through it with a professional. Maybe there's a book or a podcast that you could tap into and engage with to learn more and to grow. Maybe there's spiritual disciplines that you become aware of and you go, that would actually be really helpful for me to grow. Even though I don't naturally like it or engage with it, it'd be a really helpful thing for me to walk with Jesus in a deeper, more life-giving way. And so growing involves opening ourselves up to people and things which will help us and challenge us and encourage us to grow. So here's the practical tip, practice for this week. Begin by spending time in the Gospels, getting to know Jesus, encountering him, being with him. And then choose a time when you're going to reflect. Put it in your diary, but block out time so that you have to do it. Move things around in advance so that that time is free, that you can make that time a time to reflect. Pick a spot. Be alone, be in a nice place in nature. Carve out time to do it. And then when you reflect, ask yourself these questions or any questions that are helpful for you. But in what ways were you aware of the character of God today? Did you notice it? Did it impact you? Were you reminded of it in big or small ways? Where did you have opportunities to reflect it to others? A second question might be, how did the words of Jesus impact your life today? Were you aware of them in your decision making? Did you forget them and think about something else? Did Jesus' words impact your behaviors and your attitudes? Thirdly, Jesus died for you. Did your life reflect that sacrifice today? Did you live a life worthy of the sacrifice of Jesus? And a fourth question might be, how did your faith story influence you today? In what ways did you honor what's been passed down to you, of what God has given you? Were you compelled to model the way you've been loved to others, to invest in others, to pass down what you have? How did your faith story influence you that day? And then the final step of remembering is committing to growing. Who do you need to speak to? Who could help you, support you, encourage you with what you've realized and what you're going through? And what other resources are there to help you become the disciple of Jesus that God has made you to be? I think as we reflect on the goodness of God, the sacrifice of Jesus, the words of Jesus, the people that have invested into us, I hope and I pray that we will grow in our awareness of God, that He is with us every day, that He's with us in every moment. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. Jesus is with you, and He's also willing you on. Jesus is willing you on to partner with Him in Him being present in this whole world. He wants you to partner with Him in seeing His kingdom come, in the renewal of all things, in seeing this world experience heaven now. Jesus is present with you. He always will be. Why don't we partner with Him as He wills us on to be His hands and His feet in this world as we make disciples of all nations? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we reflect on You, we just want to think now of the characteristics that we know to be true. God, You are gracious. God, You are loving. God, You are just. You're righteous. You're powerful. You're sovereign. Lord, thank You that You are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And Lord, thank You that You sent Your Son. Thank You for the sacrifice that He made for us. Lord, may we accept that with our whole lives. May we take His words seriously. And Lord, I pray that we might be a people who live lives worthy of that sacrifice, of the faith which has been passed down to us by others. Lord, I pray that we might be able to reflect on our lives so that we may grow into the people that God has made us to be. Lord, may we grow to be people who walk in step with You, being transformed, becoming more like You, going into this world and doing what You did, seeing Your kingdom come, seeing heaven on earth. Lord, we pray all of this in Your Son's name.